This is RSVP Update episode 412, recorded Friday, May 10th, 2013. Divine Intervention. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's RSVNB update episode. Hope you're having fun listening to us and maybe playing RuneScape at the same time. I know that this week might seem kind of like a bit of a quiet week because there's been no updates, but we do have a bit to talk about, if anything, just in the sense of tying up some loose ends and confirming some things that we've been hearing around for a while. But, we also got some good questions, which we'll be getting to. So let us start with the RuneScape 3 global reveal. So, you know, we've been seeing for a couple of weeks now RuneScape 3 and what it's going to turn out to be looking like. But this week we actually got a peek at the press event that Jagex held for RuneScape 3. This press event was held at an actual castle, so it looks as though they hired out a castle, or at least a castle-looking place where they can hold a convention or something to bring the press and have the press play with it and everything. And we also learned a couple of interesting things about this, too. One of which being the name of the newest skill, Divination. And this was previously leaked by an IGN article, but this has, of course, now been confirmed by ModMark. So, what do you think this skill's gonna bring?
Ooh. Shane, do you always have to do that to my ears?
I'm sorry. I don't know why that started playing.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that you've been given a lot of power by Guthix, whether you wanted him dead or alive or whatnot. You probably can use that for some reason. I think it's going to be a spin on prayer.
Yeah, it could be. Hard to say. Like, the actual definition of divination is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means. So, of course, in our case, that would deal with the gods, as you said. But, I don't know, could it be like a skill of knowledge or something?
I don't know how that would play out for knowledge. Unless it's one of those skills that ties to every other skills.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to end up being like a support skill or something. That could very well be the case, because if you think about it, if you were to have knowledge imparted on you by the gods, certainly that would help you in your other skills. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure of that, because if you remember when we first heard there were going to be two skills in 2013... they said they were going to be somewhat related to each other, kind of in the same way that mining and smithing are, but they weren't actually going to be the same way. So if skill A is divination, what's skill B? Keeping in mind that same kind of relationship. You have any ideas?
I have no idea. See how they all spin on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, with such a name like that, it's hard to think it could have a skill of a primary, secondary, like mining and smithing in some way. So I'm wondering the way that's going to be done, because they did say they were going to have somewhat of a relationship like that at one point. Anyways, nonetheless, definitely have a watch through this video if you want. This also kicks off the weekly Wednesday behind the scenes series featuring new RuneScape 3 info that will be released every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, you have anything else on this, or should we just move on?
I don't have much on this thing. Let's see what they're going to do. I think it may be ice. I think what's going to happen is that probably it's going to be combined with many other skills together. Say a prayer to get me a boost. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and not to mention the new RuneScape 3 logo here. Looks pretty good. So, definitely an advancement on that. But anyways, moving on from that, Players Gallery 45, RuneScape Vistas. So this is not referring to RuneScape's version of Windows Vista. No. This is referring to the wider view of RuneScape and just how nice it's going to look in the HTML5 version when that ships. So for this brief, they say, "We want you to zoom out and show us the wonderful, rich world of Gilenor as it will be seen in RuneScape 3. Deadline is May 30th, and the rules are it's got to be your own work. No screenshots. Max re minimum resolution of 1280 by 720, which is pretty nice. And max file size of 2 megabytes. Accepted formats are JPEG, PNG, and GIF." I mean, this would be a perfect opportunity for some of the artistic people out there to go to, I don't know, say Taverly or something, and do a nice hybrid watercolor oil-based painting and s take a picture of it, you know? I wish one of us could do that, you know? That would be nice
Play a
to
video.
be able to cr create our own art.
I'm not art. I can draw the best stick figure in history. That's about it.
Yeah, there you go, me too. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see some RSBNBers in this competition, but winner will be receive RuneScape concept art print, feedback from one of the artists, and 500 rune coins. And the two runners up will receive 200 rune coins. So, look forward to seeing what people manage to send in. Remember, deadline is May 30th. All right, next up is their YouTube competition. What does RuneScape mean to you? So, they want a video created about what RuneScape really means to you, as evident by the title. You could talk about your craziest or most profound RuneScape moment, your most important achievements, friends you've made on your adventures, or wax philosophical on why RuneScape is such a big deal for you. Whatever your story is, we want to hear it. So, why is RuneScape a big deal for you?
Because I still can still connect with people that I haven't talked to in years. This is like the only method. And what's
Okay.
nice about it is when you're really, 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 really bored with stuff, at least you can just chop wood all day while watching a movie.
Yeah, there you go. So, I'd say something similar as well to that. It's always a good escape, you know, from other games and whatnot because it's different and unlike other games. Almost 9 years in for me. 9 years at the end of June this year. I still have lots to do in the game. It's just a matter of wanting to do it. So, definitely no shortage of content in a game like this. But the rules state that you must make a video no longer than 3 minutes, upload it to YouTube, and send the URL to competitions@jagex.com. They'll pick their favorites and add them to a compilation video. Make it in, and you'll get a month of free membership and be chosen as one of the three favorites, and you'll receive £25 to spend on their digital merch store. Deadline for this is Monday, June 3rd. You know, I wonder if you could make some sort of video on this pertaining specifically to your character, not necessarily a person just sitting in a room, you know, talking in front of a webcam. I wonder if that would be acceptable.
Webcam? Well, you record yourself or
No, I mean, do you think it would be possible to just use a video of your character rather than recording yourself? I don't know. But another thing you might want to do that I would imagine would garner high points would be to put together a video of yourself in a costume somewhat related to your RuneScape character and RP the fact, roleplay in real life your RuneScape character. So in essence, you'd be role-playing a role-playing character in real life, explaining why this is important to you, your character, which then would ripple up to why it's important to you, the person. So at the end, you get a really, really deep understanding as to why it's important for your character and ultimately why it's important to you. I'd like to see someone do that. I don't know if anybody out there will, but that would be definitely interesting if you know your character well enough. I mean, I certainly don't know my character well enough. It doesn't have a backstory or anything. It's certainly not that involved. I don't know. What about you?
With me? I don't know. RS has become a point in my life where, like, you're just there just to be there. Shane, you've admitted many times that there are times when you don't feel like logging on in the game for any reason.
Yeah.
And so,
but then there are times, mm-hmm. and there are times when we'll go forward, and it'll be there's stuff I really want to do, and that's the case I'm at right now. As an example, what I'd like to do at this point is do enough Barrow's runs to get the Arms Wand and book. And then, because I really do need some higher level magic gear. So it's goal driven in a way. And also there's the milestone of RS3 coming up. So that kind of shows where I want to go in the sense of it. And then I guess that takes it from the character. Is that my character in that sense would be a character who is not necessarily concerned about being the best with everything out there can be. It just does things for enjoyment, you know? I guess that would be the backstory of my character. And then that would relate to my real life as to kind of how I am. Anyways, I'm sorry for going so deep on that. I just thought that would be a really great way for somebody to talk about their character. So if you hear this idea, feel free to use it. It'd be interesting to see what happens with it. You have until June 3rd to send this in.
Yeah, show your support for us.
Yep. And there's another competition going on, this time a music competition. So they want to come up with your own take on the RuneScape theme song. For reference, they wanted to do Scape Main, so that's the one you hear, of course, when you open up the client if you don't have the music turned on. And then you can also check out Scape Bold and Scape Melancholy, which are the two newest ones that we heard a bit of last week. So, and they say it can take any form, really. Acapella, hip-hop remixes, 80s rock ballads as examples. And your music will be featured in RuneScape itself, as well as on the social networking pages. You'll get 50 squeal spins, 1,000 rune coins, and the green skin cosmetic option. And the piece must be no longer than 5 minutes. If you play as part of a group, that's fine, but we can only offer the prize, all parts of it, to one person. And the winner's composition will make its way into RuneScape itself. With this in mind, ensure that you send us the highest quality MP3 file that you can. And this one closes on June 6th. So there's another competition for you.
Oh, well, let's see what else we got here.
Ooh. Community Roundup.
Yeah, some nice pictures going on, don't we?
Yeah, lots of 3 pictures this week. Ariane is one. That doesn't really look like Ariane from the quest, does it?
I'm out of it today anyway.
It kind of looks like the typical anime style, and last time I checked, RuneScape characters weren't anime characters.
Was that you?
Oh, what?
No. Never mind, sorry.
Oh, this next one? about the guy training his real life farming skills, taking a photo of his character's new cabbage patch. I love this one. It's great, isn't it?
The cabbage patch kid.
No, but I mean, just look at it.
Yeah, I see it. It's growing cabbage.
I know, that's
cabbage,
great.
But it's too small.
I don't remember cabbage growing that big, the caption says. That one's my favorite. Very favorite. And finally, Lauren remembers to keep her Protect from Missiles prayer active when facing Kriara in this lovely painting. So, shows you being protected while fighting Armadale. Alright, and finally we got the BTS video for next week. Next week is the Nexus, which is the prayer training option that will be for relatively low-level players, but higher-level players can go there too and get a bit of XP, and also learn some backstory as well. What do you think of the Nexus?
The Nexus?
Yeah. You thinking the same thing I am?
No.
Oh. Do you know what I am thinking then?
I'm pretty sure I do.
All right. Let's hear it.
Nexi.
Okay, what is it?
Nexi. The plural form of Nexus.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. I wasn't thinking of StarCraft. No.
Okay.
Anyways, have a watch this video. Get some good pointers for next week, and it looks graphically interesting. And I think this is going to turn out to be somewhere in the Lumbridge Swamp, if I remember correctly. So, yeah. All right. So that was a very short RS segment this week. As we said, it was a non-update week. So hopefully we'll have more to talk about next week. But remember, if you're interested in drawing or graphics, you got the Player's Gallery. If you're a video maker, you got the YouTube competition. If you're RuneScape music composer, you got the music competition. So lots of stuff all around to be interested in. So let us move on to questions. We got two audio questions this week. The first one is from Carpine.
Hello, Shane and Tricky. My question this week is, do you think RuneScape will or has lost its stigma of being a terribly looking game with an outdated combat system with the release of RuneScape 3? And what area of RuneScape would you like to see graphically overhauled next? Thanks. Kapai.
Yes, absolutely. I think it has lost that stigma. I'd say that started with the release of HD and is going to be fully complete here by the time that RS3 is out and released. And also, from that front, is the combat system rework. I think that also helped a bit. And I lost my train of thought. Combat system, the graphics. Oh, yes, and the music. How could I forget the music? Because we were just hearing about the music a short while ago. So, yeah, I definitely think it has. And there's lots of people out there that you'll have encountered many years ago. And they'll think RuneScape is in the same position. And it's a very nice feeling to be able to tell somebody that, no, it's not like that anymore. It's actually improved quite a bit. And all one needs to really do is look at the latest batch of graphical updates coming with HTML5. So, what do you think?
Go with the 07 thing?
What?
You do with 07, correct? The question from Kalpai?
No.
What's another one? Oh, sorry. What was this question again? I'm completely losing my train of thought.
Yeah, you are. The question was, do you feel RuneScape has lost the stigma of being a childish type game?
I don't think it'll ever really get rid of that stigma. One thing that we've actually noticed, especially with World of Warcraft, is that many of the veterans are leaving and they're having a hard time replacing new ones. The growth of any company is always has always be the influx of new people. And with the old with the 07 thing and how many people are angry with was it Evolution of Combat, they're having a harder time getting new better newer players except for just immature young brats. Let's face it, Shane, we've
Yeah,
had our share of
and you know
brats.
what? And you know what really made RuneScape take off back in the olden days was their partnership with Miniclip. I'm not sure if you remember that. You remember that? Miniclip used to be a website that would host free games
Upstart.
and whatnot, and RuneScape even had a section way back there, and that is what is widely expected to be believe what brought all the what you were saying immature brats over to RuneScape. And you know that might be true, but that could be in general the case of anything in general. So I'm not so sure about that, but I'd say it was definitely an inflection point for bringing more people to the game, as you said. And like you said, in order for a game to evolve and adapt, they need to be constantly bringing new players in. And how are they doing that? Now, I think I know what the answer is in 2013 here. That's going to be with RuneScape 3 and the new combat system. So, in a way, it's kind of a bit of a gamble to ensure that the players who were around before the whole EOC combat system update will stick around. And if they do, that's great. But they're also marketing as a brand new game with this, specifically focusing on HTML5 and whatnot, with being able to launch the game on tablets eventually. So, I guess that's part of the whole rejuvenation thing you mentioned.
Oh, well, we'll see with RS3, see what it's kind of hard because the way that RS is made is it the way it looks is still cartoonish in a way. That's kind of how it is, but it's to get rid of this stigma, I think Miniclip did more harm than good.
Yep, that's right. Because what was the general option? I mean, I've heard of stories and whatnot about people who would play computer games at lunch at school and play RuneScape, and that's how indeed some people got introduced to the game.
That's how I was.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, at that kind of age, there's all sorts of bad stuff going around. So I guess that has something to do with it after all. All right, second part of that question was, what area would we like to see graphically updated?
Graphically updated.
Yeah.
I would like the Citadel to have more involvement with the game itself. It just feel it's just there for it for that's it. We would just go
Okay,
there
so
just to do something. I would like have a nice make it. If we spent all the time getting up to tier 7, let's make it worth tier 7.
yeah, that's kind of like what happens in Star Trek Online with Fleet Starbases. They're much more involved than the Citadel is.
And
I
just
mean
it
it.
just feels like there's nothing here to offer people who get it up to tier 7 except a new shinier cape and some new more
Yeah,
experience.
I get that. What tier is yours that you're in?
7. It took forever to
Okay,
get.
so yeah, so you'd know there's really not much to be offered then. So I can see where you're coming from that. That would be good. But that's a general gameplay issue to be worked on. But what would you say with regards to graphics? Where would you like to see graphics updated?
I would like the Citadel graphics to be updated. I want it to shine. I want the walls to be made out of solid gold.
Okay.
I want it to, if you spend so much time building it, I want you should be able to go in and be like, "Yes, I helped make this." Over there, I just see stone walls.
You
Like
didn't build that.
they are fine. The game did. changed overnight with my mountain of gremlins and minions.
Yes.
So it would be nice to actually have it look shinier, make it look more spectacular. If you go in from the door, you actually see all the hard work. You know the old saying, if you're wealthy, you know, you kind of show off. We need to show off the Citadel.
Okay. So graphically updated, then make it more grand. That's good. For me, I would like to see the Western lands updated, perhaps. Also, I think that's going to be far off, because you definitely would want to update that when the next Elf Quest comes out. We know that much. But like you and I've said before, we might well indeed be retired in our retirement home by the time that happens.
Actually, the game may be, I don't know, RS may become figment of our imagination by the time they decide to put it on their budget.
Yeah, we'll get to the point where we have to imagine how it ends, won't we? But aside from the Western Lands upgrade, I'd like to see the areas around Catherby and Sears Village and whatnot updated. Those have primarily just been updated for the textures when HD came out, as well as the new trees, but there really hasn't been much done around there. So that'd be nice to see get the same kind of treatment that Taverly had on the other side of White Wolf Mountain there. So that'd be good. And Taverly Catherby, since that's the farming area.
Yeah, of course, a farming area. I don't know, actually, I would like to, if they were to make any change, I would like Taverly to get bigger. Let's have a giant earthquake and then fill it with dirt and expand the area. It just feels so cramped with all that stuff there.
Remember, that already happened because there wasn't a river running through the town beforehand, and now there is.
Well, then why don't we dam up the river and fill it with, you know, landfill?
I know. I mean, that river still doesn't make sense. It's just there, you know? It doesn't really do much, so.
You can't even get water from it. We can fish in it, but that's about it.
Yep, that's right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Carpi. Next audio question would be from Maramska.
Hi, host. Maramska here. How are you doing? This one question I've been meaning to ask, but I keep forgetting. What discontinued internet content do you miss? For me, Grindscape comics, Ring Guys podcast. Second question, I've been looking into external hard drive storage. What do you think is better? Those all-in-one just plug-and-store units? Or those cases that you can stick a hard drive in? Since they seem to be quite versatile. What do you think, Shane, since you obviously have to store all the shows? And lastly, what else Canada has that's so famous? Canadian bacon, produce Supernatural, What Being Human show, that Pamela syrup, Panacea sort of correct kicked in there, maple syrup, poutine. Why is Canadian stuff so good? Anyway, talk to you next time. Maramska out.
Canadians also make great diplomats.
Really?
Sure. You're all peace-loving hippies. Okay, so... Alright, Shane, you want to start with the hard drive first, or you want to start with the missing internet content?
No, let's do the internet content one. You know, I really haven't had any of my shows on the internet just get discontinued. I guess if I could say one thing that was kind of a ritual way back when, it's of course been displaced by YouTube and whatnot, is Flash videos and little Flash games. You know, Flash games that would take 5 minutes to play or whatever.
I don't know, most of my Flash games back then involve many levels and dying before you ever finish. Those who actually finish a level are considered gods among mere mortals.
So that's not the type I used to deal in then, but like quite a few on the Flashy Friday archive, for example.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember using it. There haven't been much internet content that I miss. I just don't go there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, kind of hard to say with that
replaced.
One. But... Yeah.
Let's see. Any internet content? Yeah. I got nothing for internet content.
Alrighty then. Moving on from that part then, the second part being on hard drives. I'd say external hard drives are good enough for most people, primarily just because they're simple to use and whatnot. USB 3 now, hard drives, external hard drives are very, very fast. Gone are the days where you would have to worry about a bus being fast enough to transfer data. I mean, that is one thing I would always notice is that USB 2 would always be slower than FireWire, even though USB had a theoretical high speed. That's really not an issue with USB 3 anymore. So if you're just looking for a quick expansion or a backup, standalone external hard drives are good.
Yeah,
I'd only recommend the cases.
Go ahead, you finish up.
Okay. I'd only recommend the cases, aka enclosures, of external hard drives when you're looking for a much more complex application. So let's say you're looking to run, say, redundant storage or something, you can get these hard drive enclosures that run RAID 1 or RAID 0, RAID 1 for... what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no concurrency idea.
It means data... I can't. It's on the top of my head. Data redundancy. There we go. Redundancy. You can get ones where you put two hard drives in it, and it'll run them in what's called RAID 1, which provides data redundancy, meaning that if one hard drive fails, your data will be safe on the other one, and you just need to replace the drive. I'd really only recommend doing something like that if you know you need... something for long-term storage that's going to be a backup that you don't want to be messing around with if it breaks down. And in general, enclosures, they used to be cheaper to put your own hard drive in an enclosure, but I've done some looking recently, and it's just cheaper to buy an external hard drive.
Well, I was just going to say that between that and those regular flash drives, there are times when bigger is better. It's kind of hard to replace an external hard drive when it's, about size of a iPad, I would say. It's pretty easy to lose your flash drives really quick. You put it in your pocket and you forget about it. And like, oh, shoot, it went through the washing machine. That happened to me once, Shane. I'm dang surprised that it
didn't live?
Yeah, it lived. I still use it today.
Nice.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, I've had that. Let's see. I've had that thing for more than 7 years.
At least it was nice and clean.
You know, you said that to me the day I told you it went through the washing machine.
You know, that's funny because I don't remember you telling me you had one go through the washing machine.
Yes, I did. I told you one long time ago I couldn't find mine. I told you I was going to buy another one soon. Then I found it after we did laundry. I was like, oh, it was in the pocket. Oh my God, I'm glad it didn't go through the dryer. Then you said something about it was
nice and clean.
See?
All right.
Luckily, I can say that only happened once.
Yeah, that's good. I like my hard drive enclosures. They're good because also another reason I do enclosures is because they most often offer the eSATA option, which standard externals don't. For anyone who doesn't know, eSATA is just stands for external SATA. So it's basically the fastest connection you can get directly to your motherboard. So for the modern computers, that's a 6 gigabit per second connection for an external hard drive, which is pretty nice. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what does Canada have that is so famous? You know, the ones you mentioned, maple syrup, poutine, etc., are primarily ones that people use as the things that they think it's famous for. But in reality, I don't know people who have poutine every day or people who have it at all that often. Maybe it's just where I am, but maybe it's something more famous out east. But I don't really know anybody. I've never seen anyone order that around here. But maple syrup, you know, okay, yeah, maple syrup, that's good. That comes from Quebec, I think, and lots of other places around there. You said our diplomats, which I guess is good. I forget what they did. They did something that the U.S. wasn't able to do not too long ago.
Actually be effective.
Yeah, that's right. For example, effective on the Libya mission compared to the U.S. We quarterbacked that entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, using the French places as an air base. What else do we have that's so famous? One thing here specifically in Alberta, and people come all over from the world to see it, is our mountain ranges. So that's definitely something people have to see when they come here. And it's got to be probably, in my opinion, the best thing that somebody could come that is physical to see here. Because if you think about it, I mean, yes, there are nice things out in the east and whatnot, but these are some of the tallest mountains in North America here. And I don't know about the U.S., but the U.S. really doesn't have their mountain range, because, you know, the mountain range goes all the way down. Yeah, it's really not highlighted as much in the U.S. as it is here. I don't know why that's the case, but that's just the way it is. I mean, if you go to the mountains in the summer here, you'll see buses and buses of foreign tourists, usually. So,
especially around maple season, maple syrup season, isn't it?
Ha ha, no. Another thing people like to do that was really put on the map as of 2010 was the whole skiing scene north of Vancouver in the Whistler area, because, you know, that's where partially where the Olympics were held as well. So I'd say lots of alpine things. We're definitely a winter country.
Yes, actually, you guys have great Olympians during the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, and that is one thing that we did excel at there. I forget how many it was, but we either led the total medal count or we led the total gold count. I can't remember which one it was, but that's another thing that we're famous for.
Can't remember. I do remember during the last Summer Olympics, North Korea were saying how they were winning every gold medal known to man, while the U.S. was getting nothing but fourth place.
Yeah, that is not true.
Well, hey, people in North Korea don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. If I had it my way, North Korea would be boycotted from the Olympics.
Okay, what's next?
All right. Thank you, Maramska. For anybody out there who wants to send in an audio question like these two did, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Send us a waiver in MP3, that'd be preferable. Try and get it in by Friday, that's usually when we record. If that doesn't work for you, you can alternately phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Or better remembered as 571-57B&B.
Okay. All right, so we move on to
Lord
the first
Fast
question.
Lord Fast Wesley. Yes.
Okay, first question is from Lord Fast Wesley. Dear friendly and lovable host, wherever you are, I have two questions this week. So, as always, I've kept it concise. How do you think 07skate is going to do so far and has been doing so far, in your opinion? How well do you think RuneScape 3 will do, and how much better do you think it will be? Thanks, and as always, Godspeed and another fine day in escape to you all.
All right. You know, I think that it's definitely slowed down a bit from where it was at when it first came out.
Yeah, because 6 months is about to be over.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, in that time, it would be interesting to see who's left and whatnot. And I still stand by my prediction that it'll be much like RuneScape Classic is. So, I mean, I have to say, in hindsight, it's probably good that they brought a part of it back as a snapshot of how it used to be. But I still say the bad part about what they did is the fact that they didn't, is that they said back in, I think it was November or December or something like that, that they wouldn't be bringing that back. And then 2 months later, here we go, we're back. That still irks me quite a bit. But nonetheless, I think it's definitely decreasing in popularity. Not shooting through the floor, but probably definitely not as strong as the current version of the game. So.
Uh-huh. I don't think it'll ever be as strong as the current version of the game. It's, you know, with this version of RuneScape, it's there. It's flat out. The second you see, you know, you head toward there, any new player is going to go for there. The other thing is it didn't reach the, 500,000 votes, I believe it was.
Right, so then it wouldn't be.
Because, you know, basically you have to pay. Instead of paying the $7 or $8 US every month, you're paying double that, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's supposedly what's gonna happen in August, but I don't hold my breath.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I don't. It's not gonna be as big as the real thing because any new player is gonna go straight for this version, not 07. But I see 07 more of people who. Maybe stubborn to accept evolution of combat, or those who just, you know, want something a little bit new challenge, something else to do, because they've already done everything. They want to just maybe start fresh again. And of course,
yeah,
our lovable bot companies, hey, that's a new source of revenue. Huzzah!
Yeah, in our stream before, member Talaranda has a graph of RuneScape old school history going back all the way to the time it started, and you can see right now it's dropped to roughly about 25,000, give or take. If we look at the last month, it's been hovering above 40,000, and it's been going down steadily since. It hasn't recovered to what it was back when it came out. So even today, in the last day, for example, it's just been around 20,000 or so. But it's definitely gone down quite a bit. So I think this is within our predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
And the second part?
Second part. What was the second part again? Oh, right. How would they think it will do? How RS3? I don't know.
Well...
For me, well, Shane, I know you said you'll crunch some codes and make a client version for us, but I'm stubborn in my ways of not wanting to use Google Chrome as my main source.
Well, I think Firefox will work eventually because Firefox is going to have the technology to do it, but Chrome is just going to be the optimized version, so you should be able to do that. And like I said, I will put together a thing that shows a way to remove all the toolbars and whatnot of the browser so you could just have a plain old window like you normally have. But nonetheless, I don't think it's a question of how well RS3 will do because RuneScape 3 is going to be a continuation of the current game that we have. The current game isn't disappearing. The current game is just morphing into RuneScape 3. So it's going to be continuing on the same trajectory. And, you know, you and I were talking pre-show before this, I think, that it will probably bring back a bunch of the people.
Anyways, coming back to just take a look, but it's going to be up to... looks are not the only thing.
Yeah, and you know, whenever a new skill comes out, people always come back. Something that's been promised forever. way back when the construction skill came out, construction was something that had been promised since RuneScape Classic, and they never really got around to it because they didn't have the technology. And then when it came out, you know, a whole bunch of people came back from 1 or 2 months. So it'd be nice to see something like that. But I don't think RuneScape can go anywhere from here but up. All one needs to do is look at the graphical changes being made, look at the music changes being made, and the sheer magnitude of the story that's happening this year.
And, you know, the whole point of that last quest we did was really just to say, all right, you know what, let's just start brand new. That whole quest was, you know, because now we're in a whole new age. It's basically now, like, you know, it's Wheeljack is going, hey, you know, we need to start fresh. We need a new reason to start making quests and everything else. That was their catalyst.
Yep.
We're basically just going to see new stuff coming out, and it will all relate to the gods. That's why Divinity is going to be coming out.
Divination.
Sorry. Yes, Divination.
All right. Thank you, Lord Fast Wesley. I mean, Friend Fast Wesley. You know, yeah. Never mind.
What, Shane?
Just that name. Yes.
I'm gonna. What do I call it? Oxford Define Divination really quick.
Okay, go for it.
Okay.
Even though I did that earlier, you must have been sleeping.
Yes, I was actually.
Oh.
Why do you think I was being so quiet earlier? It's been a long day, dude. Practice of seeking knowledge for future by unknown supernatural means. So, you know what? Praise the Lord.
Yes, brother.
Aww.
All right. Next question.
Barracuda X. Okay, yes. Hey guys, two questions this week. How/if can a listener get on the show? Two, what is the best dual wield if you don't have the money for Dragoras or Dungeoneering for Chaotix? Thanks. All right, Shane, you handle the first one.
Well, to get on the show, we used to do get on the show contests, but people would always ask for them, and we never really had much uptake, let's say. So we kind of stopped doing them. We used to do about once every 3 months or so. But now we've pretty much just gone to one once a year or so. There might be a possibility of doing one of them this summer, depending on things. But that is, in general, how a person gets on the show is through one of our Get on the Show contests. So look for those coming. And one thing with our Get on the Show contest is that we always like to see our listeners do things to show how they're tying in their podcast listening to the game. So, yeah. Basically, rather than just putting your name in a hat, see if you come on, we go based on merit, who can come up with the best competition for us, that sort of thing. But with that being said, might see this one this summer. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
And also keep in mind, if we get 5 audio shows, maybe make a live show. Usually we may take people to ask questions during the show.
Yes, that is a good point as well. Live shows, we can greatly increase the listener interaction with that. And if we get 5 audio questions in a week, we'll do a live show. And I think I'm at the point where I can throw together the technology enough that we can just unmute someone in the Mumble channel and bring them on. So fingers crossed on that.
Okay. Number 2, what's the best dual wielding to have the money or the dungeon experience? That's a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
so evidently we're dealing with ranged here.
Range? I thought it was dual wielding.
Yeah, ranged. Yeah, dual wielding. Because Drygor and Chaotix. Or
melee.
I guess it could be melee as well. You know, This is so hard at this point, and this is another one of the issues we have with EOC, at least that I have with EOC, is that the dual-wielding weapons that you need to use to be effective in combat in this day and age just aren't abundant. So,
As I recall, you and I have been discussing for a long time that maybe they'll do something with RS3, they release new, they need more weapons to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at the ranged, at level 60, you get the Dragon Crossbow. Okay, that's not that expensive. But still, it's nowhere near as common as dual rune crossbows. And then you go up to level 70, and you got two choices. Two choices. Either Carl's Crossbow, Carl's Pistol Crossbow on offhand, or Armadyl Crossbow with no offhand. And now, the downside to that is that at level 70, the Carl's bows, they can only fire bolt racks. And I don't know anyone for the life of me who has used bolt racks.
People just do buy them off the Dren exchange, though.
I know, but I mean, I've really not seen them in use. So, then like you said, at level 80, you have the Chaotix and the Drygores and whatnot. So, I feel your pain here with this. That's why, personally, I'm doing Barrows at the moment, trying to get my Armadyl Wand and Armadyl Book so I can dual wield magic. Now, I shouldn't have to resort to that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, did I say Armadyl?
Yeah.
I meant arms. Oops.
I was like,
Yeah. RMs. So that's level 70 gear. Now to go up to level 80, we're dealing with next gear, and you know that is just too expensive. So you're 100% right in highlighting this gap. Basically, for magic, your best option is the RM stuff, like I mentioned, or one of the level 60 or 50 wands. But then again, you know, the way EOC works, it's not really efficient for you to use something that is of lower level to you by that much. It's not good to use a level 60 or a level 50 piece of equipment. You don't hit high enough to do the damage that you want to do. So that's the issue with that. And same thing goes with rune crossbows. They can't fire the good bows like diamond tip bolts. And when you think about it, the bonus on a diamond tip bolt is rather bad. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fire rune bolts that are tipped with dragonstone. That's just too much money down the drain. So, once again, from that, we need a better option. So, you know, the options really just don't exist for level 70 and 80, except for a few fringe cases. One thing you might try at level 80 ranged, if you're... it's not a dual wielding option, but you can go for the Royal Crossbow. That's one of the most powerful crossbows in the game, but you know, it's two handed and I don't like that. You might not like that either. And then for wands, we really don't have any options aside from the, God Wars ones, which is too bad. And you know, same thing goes for the melee stuff. So there is a big gap. I know for me, my melee combat gear just consists of my whip, my fine whip.
Actually, I wonder how much is that fine whip attachment is now.
Oh, not that much at all. Like, less than 100k nowadays.
Really? Did not know that.
Why?
Oh, because I need a slashing weapon to kill abyssal demons. I take too much damage.
Well, there you go.
I take too much damage from using my Bandos God Sword. No, Armadyl God Sword.
And the regular Abyssal Whip is a grand total of only 80k.
Actually, I got a drop from the Abyssal Demons when I was slaying, though. That was nice.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, those, when they were worth 1.5 mil, I think got like 3 by the time I stopped doing Slayer around, man. It was nice.
Now with my luck, I barely get any of those.
yep.
was it? Yeah, my little heart broken when I realized prices weren't so happy was when I believe I was slaying an abyssal demon, and then I got a half shield drop. I was so happy that I finally got one. Then I check out the price. It's not even worth putting it together, just high alchid. I was like, oh, man.
Yep. That's the way it works.
Okay.
That is the way it works, unfortunately. But you have a chaotic, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do.
What do you think? Double...
If they're weak to stab, double chaotic rapier is the way to go. They do so much damage with that thing.
Stab, stab, stab.
Yes, yes. I'm actually wondering if I should get double chaotic long swords, but that's just extra stuff I don't really want.
I wouldn't. The long swords are really only good for high hitting, whereas the rapier for most slayer stuff is good just being fast as it is. So,
well, remember now. Remember now, it's about weakness. Even if they're not weak to you, attack faster, it doesn't make much difference. Believe me, I tried. No. I was
Dragon
trying.
Rapier. 51 million.
I'm not even close to getting that. I can't. I don't.
Exactly.
Kill that thing. Well, actually, I could get it. I'll just go broke.
Yep. So,
I'm not the merchant.
Hard to
type.
Say, really. Yep.
I'm not the merchanting type. There's a reason that I don't play the stock market.
Okay.
All
right. What?
What was that moan for?
Well, I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I share this guy's pain.
Okay, let's move on. Shane, you get the next one.
All right. Next one is from Armalady. If the Armadil staff is from an elder god, will they be coming to take it back? Seeing as the Dragonkin were in a hurry to destroy the staff, it obviously wasn't an artifact from Jazz, but someone even more powerful. Another question, this time about gameplay. A lot of equipment has been reduced in power to match counterparts like Bandos and Barrows. Is there ever going to be possible to upgrade existing armor to make it stronger? I.e. adding Kebbuk Claws to Vambraces, which has already been nerfed for some reason.
Okay, let's go off with the Elder Gods.
Well, I don't think they'll be coming to take it back, personally.
Yeah, nor do I, actually. You go ahead.
The Elder Gods created the world and the universe, and would they really be concerning themselves with something so mediocre like this that they would want to come back and get something like this? When, I mean, I'm not fully up on the God Wars or anything, but I'm not sure if the Elder Gods actually interfered in the first God Wars. My feeling is that they did not. So I don't think they'll be coming back because, you know, it just doesn't seem like the right thing to do. And, yeah.
With me and that god, so quite honestly, if the gods come back and they're so supposed to be that powerful, that staff, they could probably make another one out of with all their might and transfer their life force into it.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
but you know, I can see the. Go ahead.
I was just saying to just make a more powerful version of that one and just destroy that one without a problem.
Yeah, and I was saying you could. I can see the genesis for this question being that the gods created this and it's caused so much trouble, you know, the god wars and all the rising up of the lesser gods, you know. So the question is, why wouldn't they take it back? That is a good question, but I don't think they would just concern themselves with that. It doesn't seem like the right kind of thing to do. And surely if they did that, we'd have bigger problems than we have right now, remembering what happened at the end of the World Wakes quest.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, my vote is no on that.
Yeah, they do come back, pretty sure, though. Well, I'll just say this. With the power of God things within our body, we can stop them anyway without the staff. There, I said it.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, that staff, the power of that staff is indeed what was actually used to kill Guthix. So removing it would certainly upset quite a bunch of people, and I don't think they would risk the confrontation that would ensue from that.
Okay.
All right.
Second part of the question, Shane, is...
Would they upgrade armor? Like I was saying, definitely we do need to look at the way this stuff goes, because as it stands right now, there's really not that much in terms of some of the armor that's missing. Like, for example, level 80 and 90. I don't know about you guys, but I got 80 attack way back when in my RuneScape career, so I've been sitting at that, and we definitely need more weapons in that tier.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to see some armor to be able to be upgraded, like is suggested here.
Okie dokie.
What do you think? What do you think?
What do I think? I'd say wait till RS3 comes out and see what they do. I'm pretty sure we can't be the only one that's thinking there's a huge gap in between. Hopefully they realize this, and when RS3 is released during the summer, they'll actually put more of this stuff in. I mean, remember, we're supposed to have a lot of, in theory, we should have a lot of new content coming in after RS3 and the whole world wakes thing. We might find, with our divination, end up creating new weapons for what X, Y, and Z.
There you go. That's it. That's what it could be. The first one is divination to discover the information, and the second one applies it to the rest of the world as we know it.
Yes, it's going to be divine
there
intervention.
There we go. There's our two skills. That is what divine the two skills are going to be.
Okay, then.
Excellent. But like I was saying, definitely would also be a good time to rework smithing and stuff, and we could rework the armor upgrades into that.
Oh, you know what would be great? We can use divination with blood magic and infuse ourselves within our weapons. They'll be permanently binded to yourself, but the stats are tripled.
There you go. And as you use the weapon more, it levels up. Because yes. Remember in one of the behind the scenes, they said last year, you're going to get a weapon. It's going to be your weapon, and you're going to level it up.
Yes, you take the souls of the enemy. And if you don't have the soul... Well, if you don't have to stop, if you don't believe they have a soul, you're an atheist anyway.
You know, I think we just nailed what these two skills are going to be.
Meh, we'll see. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what? That red bull really helped. For once, they actually did something for me.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm on that stuff as well, even though I'm not. So, wow. Wow, we just turned on the thinking engine to overdrive in this question.
Me. Okay, let's move on before it takes too long.
Thank you, Armor Lady. Last one.
All right, last one is Zaro's Initiates. I have some lore questions about the gods. Concerning the Elder God, is it possible that we have already met one, maybe Sarah Doman? Two, concerning Zaro, if he does return, what will be his first move? Well, we actually did met an elder god. We met Guthix before he died.
Guthix is not an elder god.
Man, he sure looks like it. Big, giant,
no.
Green monkey.
Neither is Sarah Doman. An elder god. Yeah, there's only real two elder gods out there. Sarah Doman is not one of them. There are two elder gods out there. One is Jazz, and the other one is some creator god that created the Majorat and the Muspa. So those are really the only two elder gods out there. So in hindsight, no, we haven't met any of them. It would be interesting to see where that goes, of course, but I mean, just look at what the Stone of Jazz has done.
Mm-hmm. Gave a lot of power.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was imagining that There's probably some whiteboard out there that, based on what happens, could end up accumulating in the player achieving godhood at the end. Like, at the end on this, we have a path to godhood for the player, and somewhere along this path, you end up meeting one of the elder gods somehow. So, yeah.
In a vision.
Yeah, we have not met the elder god yet, but at some point we will.
Well, I think one thing that may happen is that when Divinity comes out, we may actually be able to fight Lucian in an even more even playing field. We may be able to, you know, learn more about the Dragonkin.
Yeah, well, didn't we get the power in the quest to do that?
Yeah, from World's Wakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guthix gave us power. Whether you choose to protect the world or, you know, start shape it in your image, that's gonna be up to you.
Yeah.
Sure, Shane. And if you had your chance, you'd make it into a whole Star Trek universe in the game.
Nah, Captain Picard is good enough.
I still want my Wookiee. I want my Wookiee, Shane. Okay, so we'll move on to second question. What will be Zaros's first move? First move? I'm pretty sure he'll try and find any followers of Zamorak and kill them. Kill them all.
Yeah.
Slaughter them.
That's taking revenge. Back all of his old land. Because way back when, a good portion of the world was actually controlled by Zaros. Specifically the wilderness and, you know, the area around the dig site and whatnot. So you can imagine that that's going to be some kind of areas, the area surrounding Varrok as well, maybe even off into the swamplands and whatnot. Because I could imagine, based on the way those work, worshipping Zamorak and whatnot, those will end up, or were at one point, part of Zaro's control areas. So just like anybody else that comes back, they're going to try and exert control on what they once had.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Zaros. Thanks for the question.
Yes, Zaros initiate.
All right, Shane. Now we move on to our favorite part of the podcast, tech news.
Yes. All right. So this week, Microsoft has conceded that Windows 8 missed expectations. So, for anybody who has been living under a rock, Windows 8 came out. Some people liked it, like myself. The vast majority of people in the public did not like it. So, the software giant, in an unusual frank admission about the shortcomings of its Windows 8 operating system, has confirmed that it is making changes to the sales strategy and to its software to address user complaints with the coming update dubbed Windows Blue, which we discussed a bit about last week, specifically the start button returning. So this is one of the concessions that they made, and, you know, perhaps maybe they don't get where the world is going in terms of general computing.
I don't know. I'm still willing to give Windows 8 a chance. I just don't have a reason to go from Windows 7 right now because I'm not getting any new computer anytime soon. And I don't feel like getting the OS.
And I mean, it doesn't make sense to run a tablet UI on a desktop. That's primarily why Apple didn't do that. And Microsoft tried it, and they almost got away with it. It works for me, but it was just too much of a change for most people, I think. So, which is too bad for them. But, you know, it's the whole even odd rule. Windows 7, good. Windows Vista, bad. Windows XP, good. Windows ME, bad. Windows 98, good.
5, very bad.
Yeah.
It kind of went backwards for that. But anyway, you know, we kind of talked about this before, just to keep it in a nutshell. You know, there are people who are like Apple for whatever reason and people who like Android for whatever reason. What Windows needs to do is really find a way to get people who are on those systems to move onto Windows 8 for whatever reason. And they also want to need to start having their own little base. And find their, they need to find their niche in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Once they get
the like niche, it used to be Office and the Enterprise, but that's not the case anymore. So
yeah, they need to find their niche. Once they find that, and you know, popularity starts growing, you know, remember. Apple Macintosh wasn't exactly the best thing when it first came out either. Yeah, some people liked it and they had to spread out. So that's what when Microsoft needs to do. Find, you know, because remember, there's always going to be the early innovators. That is your primary target when you're making something for the very first time. You have the early innovators, and then you have the middle one, then you have late. Your moneymaker is going to be on the late ones. The early ones are going to buy no matter what. You know they're going to buy it, and they're going to give you feedback. Once you made improvements, your main target is always going to be the late innovators, because they're the one that's going to make you money.
Right. Also, I think part of the problem with Windows 8 was the hardware they tried to launch it on, specifically the Surface stuff. I mean, a hybrid tablet computer doesn't really make sense to me. You gotta either go for one or the other. Either a ultrabook without the touch and just a bit of multi-touch like the MacBook Air, or a full-on iPad kind of deal. And you know, Microsoft could have made a very compelling iPad. They could have made it thin. They could have really pushed the Surface to the limit with this, because you know, Windows 8 has a built-in on-screen keyboard that you can use, and that would have worked just fine. So I think it was a little bit of trying to be too different, but definitely going to be interesting to see how they rectify this. So far, the only thing I know about Windows Blue is that the start button is coming back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So, now, Microsoft wants Apple to release an iTunes for Windows 8. Specifically the Metro-type environment. Apple has said that they're not going to be doing this. People are going to just have to use the typical desktop application like they've been doing for years, which, you know, is kind of understandable from Apple's point of view. And, you know, I think if Apple actually released an iTunes for Windows 8 in the new Windows 8-style UI, I think that would actually help Windows 8 adoption a bit.
Okay.
Because if people have laptops and desktops running Windows 8, and they're guaranteed to have an iPhone or an iPod or an iPad, they'll want something they can use in a same type of interface to control and manage that content. So, ultimately, I think it's a missed opportunity for Microsoft, because Apple's not doing this. But definitely could move on Apple, so since they're not going to be promoting Windows 8 then. But anyways.
Okay.
All right. And the last one.
All right. This is a bit more of a gaming news than anything else. Diablo 3 from Blizzard actually had a patch update a couple of days ago. The problem with that patch update is they actually ended up including a very big glitch. A glitch so big that people were able to amass up to trillions of gold in a matter of minutes. So I'll just you didn't read this article before I put it, did you?
Huh?
You didn't read the article, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No. Yeah, that's why it's all so right. Funny.
So as you, many of you may have known, is that Diablo 3 has something called the auction house, where you can have the gold and trade it for real money using via PayPal or you know, Blizzard's own little site. Well, the problem was people who actually gotten a couple trillion dollars worth of gold ended up buying almost everything off the auction houses. That's why they had to take it off. So, let's see. I'll just read out a little headline. After the release of patch 1.0.8 this morning, we made a decision to take the gold and real money auction houses offline to investigate a bug that certain players were exploiting a duplication gold glitch. Our team was working hard to fix any outstanding issues, and appropriate actions with the accounts involved. According to a post, many players now have billions in gold, and one player has amassed 371 trillion gold pieces through the exploitation.
Wow.
And when Blizzard dropped the gold floor from 25 cents a million to 25 cents per 10 million, players then bought gems for real money and convert them to gold. Then dupe the globe was discovered, and someone started streaming the duplication bug. So anyway, it's bringing it into
it's
another little.
Funny.
Actually, it's bringing it into a whole other little question. Is, you know, while this is considered a bannable offense, in a way, in the if this happened in the real world, you know, Shane, that there would be a lot more legal actions.
Yeah,
there'd
be prison time and whatnot required.
Yeah. So I'll just leave that out there. So anyway, yeah, they had a big problem, and that caused a lot of headaches. And they're, from what I've read so far, they are not planning to do a rollback, at least not for the time being. So let's just say people are not happy over them not rolling back, and of course, people are not happy that they're not getting the thing, the items they needed or whatever.
Well, people obviously got very rich off this. Are they going to be banning them?
Oh, yeah, they're going to ban them for life and all that type of thing. But, you know, you remember a couple years ago when we had that rock climbing boot incident here on RS?
Yes.
It's not on the same caliber, but the idea is kind of the same. Yeah, people just ended up finding something and exploited it and made billions, and they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And people can dig through that whole conspiracy theory, whether you want to believe it or not, it's totally up to you, that someone that one of the mods told his nephew or something that we're making changes to rock boots and that's what you should start buying now or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty funny, and, you know, it's... granted, RuneScape has its fair share of bugs, but nothing like this, and for that we must be thankful.
And which is why, you know, doing something like this for gold for cash is not really going to work in the gaming world.
Yep.
It's just too many ways to exploit. And, you know, let's face it, the company either takes the hit or just says, no, we're not giving you anything because it didn't happen. Oh, well. We'll see. Sorry, we'll see how Blizzard decides to handle this.
All righty, very good. Let us move on to other things now. The Skill of the Month update for May. Slayer is your Skill of the Month this month, and Zant is currently in first place with 2.7 million experience gained. Second place is Bletherskite with roughly 1.9 mil, almost 2 million experience gain. And third place is Forged RS at 1.2 million XP gain. So we got what looks like a two-person race here. Depending on the way Zant goes for the rest of the month, it could be possible that either Bletherskite, Forged, or maybe even Scream Truth, who is in fourth, will catch up. But at this point, it's Slayer. You know, Slayer requires a good deal of attention, so unknown as to whether or not... Zant will remain victorious, but I encourage everybody who is in 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and all the way to keep going, because, you know, it is a good skill of the month to earn XP in, and even if you don't win, your experiences are tallied up at the end of the year, and the person who gains the most experience all year long wins the Skiller of the Year competition. Alright. Okay. Achievement of the week. Just one this week. Parnassius with 99 magic on May 9th, so congratulations to you.
You know, we seem to have him almost every week.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Cool.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
Alright. I believe you have a pick for us.
You didn't put it up here. Okay. I have to find that thing again. So anyway, I was browsing through the internet and I found something that may be interesting. So, where'd it go? I have to find that link again, Shane. Give me a sec.
All right.
And there we go. Found it. Okay.
Okay, very good.
So we chose the moon. It is a small interactive video of the Apollo mission. And it gives it's an old interactive video. So it was made back in 2009, so don't expect something truly amazing with technology. But it's you can as you're progressing through the mission, you actually hear real excerpts from the people there. So you hear the recordings from JFK, you hear recordings from the cockpit, you hear recordings from Houston as they're going through. And of course, they give you a lot of little
what?
Oh shoot! Sorry. The thing started playing, and I thought that was you playing the thing. My bad. So, and it gives all the extras and pictures of stuff of the entire mission. So, Shane, why don't you click a look and let them listen to it for a little bit?
Alrighty. WeChooseTheMoon.com. Interactive recreation of the first mission to the moon. The site is divided to 11 stages containing animation, archival photos, video, and mission audio. Moving way too fast. I'm going to read it all at once. Initializing stage 1. Don't forget to download a personalized certificate for yourself or your class.
This is Apollo Saturn Launch Control. We passed the 6-minute mark in our countdown for Apollo 11. Now 5 minutes, 52 seconds and counting. We're on time at the present time for our planned liftoff of 32 minutes past the hour. Spacecraft test conductor Skip Chauvin now has completed the status check of his personnel in the control room. All report they are go for the mission, and this has been reported to the test supervisor, Bill Schiff. The test supervisor now going through some status checks. Launch operations manager Paul Donner reports go for launch. Launch director Rocco Patrone now gives a go. For 5 minutes, 20 seconds and counting. Coming up shortly, that swing arm up at the spacecraft level will come back to its fully retracted position. This should occur at the 5-minute mark in the count.
I just pressed launch.
In the meantime, the lunar module telemetry.
You can just skip through it. Down.
We took a good look at Eagle.
That is pretty nice, though. Definitely a good pick. And, you know, it's unfortunate that funded space exploration isn't going that way anymore.
Oh, we're still at Mars.
I know, but still, it's not as big as it used to be, you know? Ever since the end of the Cold War, there's no reason anymore to fund government space exploration, which is too bad. So,
oh, whoever goes back to the moon gets a nice giant check from Google.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully it's not India or China something, because, you know, that's the thing. I mean, the U.S. has always been a leader on this, and I just can't believe that they're willing to pass this on to a different country, because there have been countries like India and China and maybe even Russia talking about putting a permanent base on the moon. How could the U.S. pass this up of being part of it? I don't know. It seems really silly.
Well, keep in mind one thing, Shane. When it comes to space exploration, the U.S., whether you agree with spending, well, the spending or not is totally up to you, we are still very far ahead from many other countries around the world. There's a reason we could go to Mars and no other country did. So,
you mean the moon?
No, Mars. Remember, we went to Mars with rovers and everything else. There's a reason we're doing it, no one else. We have more technology. We're in terms of rocket technology and everything else. The U.S. is still very far ahead from everyone else, and that's also a little bit of trickle down, because what happens is anything that NASA ends up developing to help space exploration usually does trickle back down to the local economy, and it's been proven
that is entirely true.
It's been proven many times that almost many things that the military and space exploration has made actually does affect, development here. I mean, look at GPS. It was designed for the military to help coordinate, movements of troops and everything else. Now we have that in every single car. When it comes to
yeah, that's right.
when it comes to
same
you
thing
know,
goes
those...
with Velcro fasteners.
Yes, Velcro.
The Vulcans brought us that technology.
Technically, it was those stubby, stubborn weeds that get stuck to your clothes that gave the guy the idea. But what was the other one? Yeah. What was that other thing? Tempur-Pedic mattresses. It was designed by NASA, and now it's on many people's bed. Although honestly, it sucks.
Yeah. So I mean, for people who say space is not worth exploring, just look at all the things we just mentioned here. But definitely have a look at this if you're not aware of the whole moon missions and whatnot. Definitely a very interesting time. It's just too bad that it took the Cold War to get something like that going.
Well, also kind of keep in mind one thing. It was a good Cold War was a good catalyst to get developments through. If you think about it, when planes were first invented, it took us about 60 years to put someone on the moon. You can't say that for many other pieces of technology. Even boats took generations to finally. It took us generations to move from wooden boats to steel, and from steel to coal, and from coal to oil, and from oil to nuclear powered.
Yeah, and look what happened to the Titanic.
Well, remember, Titanic sank because the construction workers decided to save a little more money and not make watertight seals for compartments. That is the cause of the sinking of the Titanic, because there weren't any watertight compartments.
Yeah. All right. Good pick. Good pick. And that spurred a discussion in its own.
And that's one tiny little bit that was made by the JF Kennedy Library Museum, powered by AOL. Just FYI.
Nice. Powered by AOL. Thought they were gone. All right. So you remember that for about the month of April, we ran Informer applications last week. Actually, last Saturday, we selected a winner. Hence why I didn't get it on the show last week. But the winner we selected is Zant, iZant on the forum. So we're in contact with him and setting him up to be a new writer for RSVNV Informer. Watch for his article appearing sometime in the next week at informer.rspmb.com.
Congratulations.
Yep. And it's springtime, so that means it's time for the yearly RSPNB update survey. This year we got a bunch of questions on here. We're just trying to get a feel for what our current demographic is, if it's changed anything from last year, and how you feel we're doing with the current state of RSPNB update. So if you would take a couple minutes and fill this out, it would be greatly appreciated. We don't ask for a name or anything, so feel free to be completely honest with what we got. And I look forward to seeing the results.
Yes.
Link can be found in the show notes at update.rspnb.com.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
All right. So, what have you been up to this week?
Just working, ready for finals coming up. And okay. I did finally got the smithing level, funny. So I'm still one step ahead of Uncle Dana, at least for the time being. Constantly picking at him every time he levels up something. did my playing on ports, I can finally say I've upgraded every single building. Only thing I left to do is just get very, very good crew members. And yeah, that's it.
All right. As for me this week, I've just been doing barrel runs primarily, and did a bit more, messing around in the HTML5 beta. I thought maybe I'd try a barrels run or something in there, but I didn't want to risk a client crash or anything like that. Like combat.
So, if you actually go on barrels, let me join you. I could use the experience to learn how to do that again.
It's actually been made easier because a month or so ago they made a change to the smash ability. The smash ability will now turn off Akrise's prayers in the barrows. So as long as you bring a two-handed weapon, you can just stick to your magic and use that one there. And then when Akrise switches on a prayer, switch to your two-handed weapon, use smash, and off you go back to magic.
Cool.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to. So I think that's it for this episode.
Yep. All right.
All right. So remember to send those audio questions in. If you do that, we'll do a live show. We'll get 5 of them. And then we got a live show. And also remember to fill out the survey for us. That would be greatly appreciated.
And happy Mother's Day.
Right, that is this weekend. So with that being said, let's go and do whatever Mother's Day stuff we're going to do. See you next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.